Welcome to our DC Diversity Dive, a podcast in which our diversity and inclusion team aim to recognise and support cultural practices and celebrations. Delta Kappa embraces and it celebrates equality and diversity. It takes the necessary steps to ensure these values are recognised, for example, through the work of our Diversity and Inclusion Committee and fostering diverse thought. International Women's Day acts as a celebration of what women have achieved and a conversation around what's happening right now, and a chance to contemplate how things can change for the future. The day signifies an ongoing effort to build an equal and sustainable future where there's still a great deal to be done. For example, only 6.4% of the directors of the FTSE 100 companies are women, and it's estimated that the gender pay gap will not be aligned until 2050. There is, in fact, consistent evidence proving the connection between diverse and inclusive workplaces and improved profitability and performance. The aim of the International Women's Day 2023 Embrace Equity campaign theme is to get the world talking about why equal opportunities aren't enough. People start from different places, so true inclusion and belonging require equitable action. By embracing diversity, educating ourselves and others, and taking action to eliminate discrimination, we can build a future where everyone has the opportunity to thrive and succeed regardless of gender. Today, we look to discuss some of the difficult matters women face and how to embody our value of collaborating for better outcomes with our guest speakers, Vinita Ramtree, COO of APAC, Anne-Marie Sicken, the Netherlands Head of Operations, and Madhvi Taylor, a Principal Consultant in London. I'll let them introduce themselves.
Yes, thank you, April. Yes, let me introduce myself. I'm Anne-Marie and I joined Delta Kappa 2 years ago, having more than 20 years experience within operations and during the last 2 years in a managerial role. And from a personal perspective, I'm a mother of 4 teenage kids right now and living with my husband in the middle of the Netherlands.
Hi, I'm Vinita. I'm a CEO at APAC and I've been with Delta Kappa for a year now almost, and I have about 25 years of experience, but across 4 industries. I am a single mom of 2 kids. I wish I could say like Anna-Maria, I've got 2 teenagers, but my daughter's now 20, so I've lost that privilege. So my daughter's 20, my son is 14.
Hi, and I am Madhvi. I am a principal consultant at Delta Kappa. And I started my career as a programmer after graduating in computer science and then progressed on the normal route to a business analyst, project manager, program manager. I have 20 years of experience working in the male-dominated technology and financial sector in London. I am a 2022 Tech Women 100 Award winner and a UN Women UK delegate. I'm also the global head of Women's Network at Delta Kappa. In my spare time, I work as a women's empowerment coach, and I'm also a mother of 2 children. My children are grown up. They're 21 and 24.
Amazing. Thank you, everyone. So on to the topic of today's discussion. Firstly, what does International Women's Day mean to you?
To me, International Women's Day is an opportunity to pause from our daily routines, to celebrate girls and women, appreciate how far we've come, our progress and achievements towards gender equality. We also want to honor the women who have worked very hard to get us here. We still have a long road ahead of us. So let's take time to reflect on what else needs to be done. Create awareness, positivity, optimism, leading to plans for action.
Nice. What about everyone else?
So I think I'm totally in agreement with everything that Madhvi said. To me, essentially what it means is that women still have a long way to go. So sorry to have a negative spin on this, but just the fact that we have a Women's Day and just the fact that we make so much noise about it, to me, it says there's a long, long way to go, because the point is only proven when we no longer need a Women's Day. So it is, to me, a bit unfortunate that we are having to revive this, because when they say, you know, women need to be given chances, and I want to come to the point where women don't need to be given chances and they just, they have their chances. So over to you, Anna-Marie.
Yes, thank you. To me, it means that together we can gather more knowledge on this topic and having more consciousness on this topic. For me personally, I never like to be pushed into a certain group. I've never been very sensible to special woman communities as well. And during my career, I never felt like one of the women, but more part of the team. But therefore, International Women's Day means more to me than awareness of mutual differences and celebrate those as well, because I really think that it can make us better together and making better use of all our potential, which we have in our company, and embracing those differences between not only men and women, but between all different kind of peoples and their backgrounds, can offer us more opportunities to be more innovative as a company and towards our clients in the end as well.
Yeah, agreed. So what does everyone think? Does equality really benefit women, or is it equity that we really need?
Yes, I've been thinking about this topic because the topic of the International Women's Day is, of course, embrace equity this year. In my opinion, it will make a great difference to have more understanding on the different backgrounds of our employees in general and the challenges they face within their careers. This is, again, not only a woman-related topic, I think. We can obtain these insights for more equity opportunities for our employees. And I think, again, it will empower us to make fully use of the human capital. For instance, within Benelux consulting team, we see senior women still leaving the business, preferring a career with our clients. To retain this human capital for the organization, I think we need to have insights why they choose to go to another industry and facilitate them offering equal chances. So within consultancy in the Benelux, for instance, we took a look at different growth paths. We are talking about, of course, it's International Women's Day and we're talking about women here. But I don't think this is not only a woman topic.
I absolutely agree with you. I think we need to understand, yes, it may not be just a woman's topic, but I feel the normal channels of promotion suit very well to the male colleagues, which may not be suitable for women. So if the leaders of our company can understand individuals at an individual level and see what suits them, what their career path should be and how they can progress, it would really help. So equity is very important.
I think I totally echo, you know, everything that that my colleagues are saying, frankly. And in a lot of ways, whenever we've previously even said equality, I think generally the theme or the essence has been equity, because equality would mean Anna Marie and myself, you know, we eat the equal amount of food, but the equity is basically we eat as much as we both need to eat, you know. So it might be different, but it is right in relative to what we want. So equity, therefore, is the right way to go. And equality, what is sufficient for one is not the same as the other, because everyone's got different preferences.
Yeah. What do you guys think? Do you think there's gender roles that still exist in the workplace nowadays?
Well, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I'm not going to pretend here that, and which workplace are, I mean, it's a broad question, right? In the workplace. So whether it's various different workplaces I work. So I worked in four different industries, as I mentioned before, right now in financial services consulting, but even whether it is hotels or, you know, other firms. Gender roles still exist. And in fact, I was doing a session yesterday about just how, you know, unconscious biases creep in. And it is exactly the fact that a lot of times even women quite naturally slip into those gender roles to say, hey, you know, someone needs to organize a party, and we put our hand up and we go, well, actually, it's going to be a woman who does it. So we ourselves are somewhat guilty as well, but they do exist.
Yeah, I would agree as well. Yes, they do exist. And I think moving forward, we need to empower our teams to say that if in meeting notes need to be taken, then, you know, everybody takes turns to take them, not just the female members. We just have to mix roles and try to create that level ground within our teams.
Yeah, I think it's kind of this default that's been created that we need to overcome. How would you address the cultural issues that form the backdrop of the gender pay gap?
Gender pay gap is complex. It's complex, which everybody would agree with me. I would say the first is, you know, just as what we just discussed on our gender roles, The first is to address stereotypes and biases about gender roles and capabilities. For example, I've worked in finance and technology all my life, and there's been very few women. And I think women are perceived as less competent and therefore may not be given the same opportunities as men for advancement. So again, this ties back to leaders understanding their staff and making equitable opportunities for them. In the past, when I have managed teams of developers, which have usually been very few women compared to men, then as a leader, I listen and understand my team members and tailor my management and coaching to their needs. I often find that junior women will not speak up in meetings, especially if it's one of those technical meetings with a lot of male programmers. I find that my female programmer will not say much. And then I just need to recognize that, empower her on a one-to-one and encourage her. I also find that sometimes it's the imposter syndrome. Junior women are technically capable. They're definitely capable, but they still need more encouragement, more coaching and mentoring to get where the male colleagues are.
I'd probably have a slightly, slightly more controversial view to that, if Madhvi. I do agree, there is definitely, there are issues about gender pay gap, and it does happen. But some of the history behind this is that, when the women have spoken up, someone or the other told them to not speak up. I've always spoken up, right? And when someone says, junior women don't do this, I almost feel violated to say, no, I do speak up. And, it's just that, I wouldn't probably generalize to say this is how it is. Because when someone says, Indian women are like this, sometimes I go out for a date and someone says, oh, Indian women love to cook for them. And I'm like, hello, sorry, but you got the wrong impression here. So I wouldn't want to put everyone in one bracket to say all women or generally women are like that, because there are individuals who have unique personalities. Overall, the gap does exist. And it is also about women then taking that stance to say, I'm not doing it. And you've got to be really firm and really confident. As Madhvi says, I 100% agree. The capability gap is not there. So it's about just standing up for yourself and having that courage to go out and say, here's what I'm worth and here's what I'm going to go for. In fact, when I was doing imposter syndrome sessions, there was a woman who actually said that she's constantly told by her family, what on earth are you getting paid so much for? So sometimes there's just, when women then start to feel guilty sometimes to say, maybe I'm getting paid too much for what I do. So there are a lot of, like Madhvi said, it's very, very complex. And there's so many different things that go into this. But the beginning would be that to recognize your worth and to stand up for it.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. And I do agree that not all are like that, but there is some, and we need to recognize those some and just give them a little push. I've got a very interesting example from a colleague of mine who's a cricket coach. And he said when the children come for his cricket classes on a Saturday, so this is girls and boys going to cricket classes on a Saturday. So you know that the girls are already empowered to be sent to cricket classes on a Saturday. He goes that, when he says to a girl that you're going to be the captain today, even if she's technically capable, she'll say, I'm not sure. I don't know if I can be the captain for today. But if he says the same thing to one of the boys who's not even technically capable, he says, you'll be the captain today. The boy's going to go, yay, I will be the captain, and goes ahead and storms along. So for this to happen at a young age, I think there is something. I'm not saying it's set in stone, but I'm just saying as leaders, we just need to recognize it and work with it and power over staff.
I agree totally. And I think another point, Madhvi and Anna Marie, keen to have your view. One of the things that happens is because in the past, women haven't been the scientists and haven't been, the astronomers and all of that. So when little girls start to see school books, they see only examples of men. Very often. So that's where it starts to creep in to go, well, actually, it's possibly because of that. Anna Marie, I don't know what are your probably, do you have any stories from anywhere that, would you agree, disagree?
Yeah, well, I was listening to you, of course, and I was thinking about if the management exists most of men, and men are doing the end of year conversation, for example, having a view on how their team members, men and women, have been doing it over the last year. Do they recognize the differences between how women and how men put themselves forward? Are they conscious of those differences? I think there's something to win over there as well. So I really, echo also what you're saying that, but on the other hand, I also see strong women standing up for themselves. Yeah, when women stand up for themselves, they might be called spirited or spicy woman. And if men stand up for themselves, are they called having a vision? There are also differences.
That's brilliant.
In the feeling of it.
Agreed. So do we think there are gender biases existing within recruitment? And if so, what can we do to mitigate these?
When I was thinking about this question, I do not think gender biases exist within our current recruitment process. As I'm responsible for my recruitment team, I know that they always aim for the best person on the right position. On the other hand, of course, if there are two completely equal candidates on the outside, and no one is completely equal, of course, and there is inequality in the team, more equality and diversity in the team can be chosen. And I was wondering if this is a negative thing, since you have to take a look at the team composition as well, of course. The goal must be always having the right person in the right place, of course. But then again, as I said before, we must be conscious about the fact that are women representing themselves the same way men does? If women do present themselves differently than men, and we, during the recruitment process, we only look through the glasses of a man and men behavior, maybe then we are missing also very talented people in the recruitment process.
I think that's right, absolutely. And I think additionally, I mean, we also as a firm, we need to understand if we're using external recruitment agencies, which I'm not sure whether we do or not, whether we sieve through the CVs or whether external agencies do that for us. We need to be aware that if the external agencies are using AI or machine learning to screen through high volumes of candidates, then the data will be skewed if we're recruiting for male-dominated positions. So we just need to be aware of that. And I also feel that if we are recruiting internally, promoting internally, then we need to be aware that sometimes, not always again, but sometimes women will only apply for a job when they can do all the 10 out of 10 job requirements, whereas men will apply even if they can do half of them. So again, as leaders, if we understand our staff, we can actually encourage women to go for the jobs which they wouldn't traditionally apply for or wouldn't naturally apply for.
Yes, I'm thinking about a quote, and I don't know if you know, it's a kids series on television, which is really old, but she's called Pippi from a Sweden perspective. And she says, "I've never done it, so I think I can do it." If we women would echo this a little bit more to ourselves, it might boost our opportunities and as well.
I think that's a great quote. I just love it.
Yeah.
So have you guys faced any barriers in your career due to being a woman? And if so, how did you overcome them?
Yes, within my career, I've never experienced actually any barriers. Within my career, I say, in fact, I got many chances to develop myself. I've always felt very heard and respected. But I have to say, I've always been working within an operations department. And I think the chances are different within an operations department. If you take a look at a consulting or a KYC department, that might differ from each other. On the other hand, if I take a look at my personal life and my personal background, so I've grown up within a conservative community. There, it wasn't always common use that a woman had a career besides taking care of her kids as well. I'm very proud to have the chance to have it both, but also some of my girlfriends asked me when I was moving into a new step within my career, how are you going to manage your career and being a mother of four children? And I realized more and more that we are never questioning men with those kind of questions. We never ask men, are you going to work more or less when they are becoming a dad? And also, when I was thinking about this topic, I realized that I also got in my own way. I was putting myself in a certain role model when I became a mother, and no one was asking me to do so. My own feeling of responsibility, urge to protect my kids, make me do this. And I'm not saying this was a wrong choice. Through the years, I've seen this and accepted this as a phase within my career. And now my kids are teenagers. There's, again, space for me to further develop myself. And I'm very thankful that me and my husband have split up all parenting tasks. And now we are able to have both our careers and raising our children together. And also, if I take to look back over the last 2 years, when we got into COVID, etc., and the hybrid way of working came up, it really helped me balancing my career and being a mother as well. I was always rushing to home, picking up my children from school. And now I was working more at home, being already at home, giving me the opportunity also to combine work and private life better. That also really helped me balancing both tasks. Again, I also think from my personal perspective, I've been in my own way as well. So putting a lot of responsibilities to myself.
I think that's really interesting. And probably the only thing I would add to that is I've faced barriers for me. Yeah, I've faced barriers all the time, being a woman, being a single mother, being an Asian in the UK sometimes. So just the whole combination. I just say, well, you know, I've inherited or received the whole package very nicely. But yeah, I mean, I've been bullied, come through strong, and I really don't mind it again, frankly, because it's like, I'm just like your point, Anna Marie, bring it on.
Yeah, I'm very grateful that also my husband and I said to each other, spread your wings and fly. So really grateful for that.
Yeah, I think Anne Marie, there, I must agree that if both parents work in partnership, that's the best thing. And that again comes from the employers giving parental leave, shared parental leave to both parties, males and females. In terms of barriers, I would say that I agree with you, Anne Marie, in the sense that sometimes I think I have put my own barrier from my unconscious mind, because I remember once when I was asked, I was given the opportunity to lead a team, but my children were young at that time. And I said to my manager then saying, I said, oops, I can't take on this responsibility. And I stepped back. But if I was to go back and talk to my younger self, you know, I would advise my younger self to have taken that opportunity and just managed it and somehow worked through it. So I think it's that's where, again, you know, we don't know what our unconscious mind is telling us.
Yeah, that's a great point. So coming to the final question, what do you think is the most important message you want to send out to young women thinking about their careers?
So I think from my end, it'll be a really simple message. Listen to everyone, but do whatever you want to do. It is your life. Just do it. And, you know, later in life, everyone will join in.
Oh, I love that, Vinita. I absolutely love that.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Yeah, I also think about what role you want to play. Accept that you can't play them all, and that's totally fine. It's also know that my career and has known different phases. It's not always a straight line up, and that's also okay. be open about what you want to achieve and dare to ask mentoring, because also this conversation gives you a lot of insights that you're not alone. Yeah, a lot of possibilities to develop yourself.
And my message would be, your career is your own career and it's never the same as anybody else's. So think about what success means to you. Think about what your own career means to you. Where do you want to take it? And then take it from there.
I like that. I think that's some great advice. To finish up the podcast, we're just going to do some rapid fire questions for everyone. So quick answers. Number one is, what's something that people misunderstand about you?
I'll probably take that. I think people sometimes think that because I'm sensitive, I can't be strong, and they just have no clue how strong I am.
I would say for me, people think that I'm friendly, so I can't have authority, but that's completely wrong. You can be friendly and have authority. You can be an authentic leader.
What about you, Anne-Marie?
I think I'm a quite open book, and therefore I might look very confident, but that's not always the feeling on the background. And I think I might manage my team different than my male counterparts do, but in the end, I get there and do it on my own authentic way.
What is the best and worst pieces of career advice you've all received?
I think the best piece of career advice, or probably I'll start with the worst. The worst piece is that, you know, your career is purely ornamental. You just need to earn to pass time. It doesn't really matter. The best piece, I just practically, like, I think it's my daughter. She's working at a bank and she's like, I'd love to be able to say my mom's an MD at the same bank. So it's not a career advice, but it's just nice when your child backs you up like that.
Yes, for me, the best advice is that I got is spread your wings and fly. I'm just echoing it because it gave me the wings I needed and also the push I needed. And then the worst, of course, how are you going to manage your family working 4 and 5 days a week? And it makes me feel guilty about the choices I made for my career.
For me, the best piece of advice is the advice I've given myself is to follow my gut instinct. Just feel the fear and do it anyway. And the worst, I can't remember any. So I'm sure even if I've been given the worst advice, I've just heard it from one ear and out another.
I like it. And then finally, who are your favorite people to follow in business and what do you like about them and what they're doing?
Probably if I go here, I like Amal Clooney. I think I love her style and I just love how she carries herself and, you know, yeah. Probably that's what it is. I wouldn't probably go to the, you know, there are other people like Nancy Pelosi and, you know, so I just like listening to them and I like how they project themselves, the power and things like that.
Yes, I don't have people in business I follow, but in general, I really like women who dare to be powerful, stand up for themselves, not losing their authentic selves, because I think that's really important. Everyone's unique with their unique gifts.
Me, I don't have anyone specific in business, but I get my inspiration from Lewis Howes, the School of Greatness podcasts that he does. He interviews leaders in business, entertainment, sports, science, health, literature, and I get the best all around from them.
A big thank you to Vanita, Anne-Marie and Madhvi for their insightful responses and for sharing their experiences and thoughts associated with International Women's Day. A few points that particularly stood out for me were the fact that senior leaders need to tailor themselves to the needs of their employees and, you know, for example, encouraging women to speak up and what's going to benefit them in their careers. I think as well, the fact that women can have the courage to feel like they don't need to fall into these default roles and the roles that have been assigned upon them from society. And I think as well, you know, you do you and be open about what you want from your career and don't feel like you have to apologize for that or apologize for going after what you want. These conversations are vital to how we can prioritise encouraging discussions on equality and equity in the workplace. Thank you for listening to this discussion, and please look out for more content from Delta Capita on our website, deltacapita.com, on our LinkedIn page, and lastly on our Instagram at delta.capita. Thank you for listening.